If you want, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. Hope everyone's doing well. Your week is going well so far. In Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to cheat a little bit because we've been talking about this in our class, the children's class. I'm going to read a couple of parables that are related to one another and talk about this for a moment. I started the class asking the kids, what is the most valuable thing that you have? What's your most valuable possession? And I asked that question expecting some pretty random answers. And I actually got shocked by some of the answers that I received, which were on point, which were answers that were probably better than half the answers I would get if I asked you to tell me what your most valuable thing was right now. And I wasn't prepared for that as a teacher. I was expecting to hear what some of the answers were. All the answers were legitimate things, though. I mean, you can place some value on these things, but the reality is that any answer that you gave me, irrespective of what somebody else's answer was the most valuable thing to you, based upon how you understood the question that I asked you. But of course, when you get to Matthew chapter 13, and you read the parable of the hidden treasure and the priceless pearl, or the costly pearl, some Bibles might title it as, when you get to those parables, and after I've asked you that question, then you might have some regret over the answer you gave. And that was certainly the case with some of the kids who are thinking, maybe my answer isn't the best answer. And the reality is, it's okay to change your mind. It's okay once you hear a better answer to change your mind. In fact, that's why the Bible exists, to help you change your mind about what the most important thing is to you. Because you might have walked in this room tonight answering one way, but when you walk out, you'll have a better answer for the next time someone gives you that question. And so when you read the parable of the hidden treasure and the costly pearl, read them there beginning in verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." In both of these parables, very similar situation. You have someone who finds something of great value. They know it has value, and because of that, they sell everything they have so that they can acquire that thing of great value. And the obvious lesson for us, as Jesus is giving it to us, is that that valuable thing is the kingdom of heaven. That's the thing that has the greatest value. Of all the things that you'll come into contact with in this life, that is the thing that has the most value to us. And so regardless of how you might have answered that question, you know, a few minutes ago, what Jesus is trying to impress us with is whatever your answer was, if it wasn't the kingdom of heaven, that thing might have been valuable to you, but it's not the most valuable thing. And so whatever value you have ascribed to that thing, the kingdom of heaven has infinitely greater value. One thing that I came, though, to learn as we were talking about these things was one thing that Jesus talks about a little bit later on in Matthew chapter 19. And you know, when I talked to the kids about this, I told them that verses like this even confound adults to this day. You can find an infinite number of people who have an opinion about about this particular verse. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 19, it says, "Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there." And so we have this story. It's a pretty familiar story to us. You know, you have this picture of the disciples there, and maybe a little bit overzealous in their protection of Jesus. And faced with, you know, these crowds and these children, Jesus can't be bothered by these kids. And yet Jesus makes it a point, and even to the point of, as the scriptures say, rebuke them to let the children come to him. There's a lesson that we can learn from children and as adults, and what I try to tell kids is that now maybe these things are familiar to you. Some of the things we talked about, partly because these were things they offered up, but also because the scriptures talk about it. some things that we might learn from kids are things like maybe this desire to learn. And I said, that doesn't necessarily mean school, because almost unanimously they said, no, I don't like to learn. I don't like school. And that's probably true for most of us. But the reality is that kids inherently like to learn. Maybe just not in the traditional sense that they want like to sit in a classroom behind a desk and open a book and, you know, have to learn their math facts or something like that. Almost no one does. But I said, if you like to play with Legos, you probably like to learn, because you like to learn how things go together and how things work. If you've ever torn something apart only to put it back together, guess what? You did it because you like to learn. You want to know how that thing works. And there's a lot of other examples that we could use from that. So that's one thing maybe we can learn from children, is just this desire to learn. The scriptures tell us also that children are humble. And maybe it doesn't always feel that way as parents. But the reality is that they can be humble and play nicely with others. You know, some other things that we might think about with kids is they're trusting. They have a lot of faith. Particularly as a parent, you see this. Kids inherently, your children will inherently trust you. They expect you to have their best interests in mind, and they'll listen to you. And so we need to have faith, and that's something that we can learn too from children. You know, all of these things are things that we can learn from children, but the aha moment for me was when you go back to Matthew chapter 5, and if you look at the Beatitudes, and you can find that a lot of these characteristics that reside in children are things that Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes as character traits that we should have as Christians. So, for instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, which I think reflects this idea of humility or gentleness, as it says there in verse 5, blessed are the gentle. Or even in verse 7, blessed are the merciful. What was also mentioned about children is this innocence. And Jesus talks about this in terms of being pure in heart, as he mentions there in verse 8, blessed are the peacemakers. This idea of wanting to learn or to know more corresponds, at least in my mind, with verse 6 there, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so really my encouragement for us this evening is to really probably go back and reflect upon the Beatitudes. You know, I joked with him when we talked about this, and I think I've said this even in this auditorium, talking about it with adults. You know, I like to just jokingly refer to the Beatitudes as the attitudes we should be. That's not what Beatitudes means. It actually means blessed, which is the word that you see used consistently here in these scriptures. But for me, what Jesus is trying to impress us with is these character traits, the people that we should be as Christians. And if we're those people, there are blessings that will come from that. And ultimately, the thing that we're really interested in is the kingdom of heaven. And if we can have these attitudes about us, then the kingdom of heaven will be ours. The most valuable thing, the thing we should treasure most, can be ours. And that's the encouragement for us this evening, to focus on these things, to be obedient to God, and to submit to his will so that we can have that treasure for ourselves. And that is really the promise that God's made us, that we can have that. And that's only possible because he sent his son to die on our behalf. So this evening, if you haven't already taken the opportunity to call Jesus your Savior and to become obedient to the will of God, we encourage you to do that this evening. If you're still not sure about what that means, we encourage you to ask more questions about it. We stand ready to help you find the answers within the Bible. And if there's some of you here this evening that have already taken that commitment on, but find yourself struggling in some way or another, we're here to help you in whatever we can. The most basic thing we can do is to pray for you, but if there's something else that we can do to be an encouragement, we want to know about it so that we can do what we can to help you. If there's any who would heed that call this evening, we ask that you do so as we stand and sing.